It is a great pleasure to be with you all here today. Sorry I can't bring the rest of my family with me. My wife Rhoda and our four children would love to have been here as well. But Ella is teaching Kingdom Kids in the Northwest, and Ella and Isabel actually are reading poems at Remembrance Sunday at Pinner Cenotaph up there in Northwest London. So next time I'm sure they'd love to come. They do send their love and regards. I know our two elder daughters, who are both disciples, particularly appreciate their relationships with their friends here in East London, and with Naomi and Hannah in particular, and we're just very grateful for the friendships we have across the London church. And you know, Rhoda and I have very fond memories of growing up as Christians in the church with many people here, and it's just great to be back with so many of you. And for those of you who don't know me, I look forward to getting to know you in the fellowship. It's great to be here, and thank you for inviting me. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 5, we're going to read today from this is our theme passage. And let's start reading from halfway through verse 24. So Mark chapter 5, the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. Starting in verse 24, just at the beginning of the new paragraph there. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. And yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." What an amazing passage of scripture. The title of my message this morning is, "Are You Stuck?" Are you stuck? You know, the truth is, all of us at some point or other have to accept and try to deal with the fact that we are stuck. You know, I recently had to come to this, to admit that I was stuck in the area of my life. I was trying to fix the hi-fi. We'd unplugged some bits to take something, you know, to go and use it elsewhere. And we're trying to plug it back in, and it's in this cupboard in our living room. And I was just standing on a chair, climbing over the back, trying to reconnect the various bits around the back. And there's lots of different inputs that you have to plug the right, you know, speakers and inputs into. And they're all very meticulously labeled. And so I'm leaning over the back with my head down the back of the cupboard, trying to shine a torch and trying to look. And I was trying to read the labels. And it's about this far away from me as I'm sort of upside down in the back of the cupboard. And I was concentrating really hard trying to read the labels. And for some reason, I couldn't quite get my eyes to focus. And I thought, the last time I did this 6 months ago, I'm sure I could read these labels. And the more I concentrated with my eyes, the more I focused, I had to admit, actually, I can't read this anymore. And my wife and daughter have been encouraging me to go to the opticians, you know, to check and have my eyes tested, because I'd been complaining about eye ache at work, and I was having to admit, actually, I'm stuck. I've been in denial, but I need to get myself a pair of glasses. And, you know, sometimes we struggle to admit that we have a problem, you know? We're stuck, but we struggle to admit that we have a problem. Now, that wasn't this woman's issue. You know, this woman we just read about, she knew she had an issue. In fact, it must have been a very embarrassing and painful issue for her. You know, the passage says that she's been struggling with bleeding for 12 long years. And in that, you know, I think sometimes it makes a difference if we try and put ourselves in someone else's shoes, even in that society, to understand what that would have been like. You know, not only has she been in pain, the passage says that she's sought treatment from many different doctors. Well, the only reason you go to many different doctors is because the doctors are not helping you. You know, you go to a doctor, you try and get help. It's probably a man doctor. And she's having to explain quite embarrassing personal, you know, problems she's got. The doctor tries to help her. It doesn't say what the doctors did. I don't know. They perhaps prescribed different medications. You know, medical science was not particularly well advanced at that time. So they probably tried a lot of things that were not particularly helpful. I don't know if there were operations or other interventions that were tried. You know, but she tried with one doctor, she took the potions and lotions, it didn't work. She goes to another doctor, she has to embarrass herself to make herself vulnerable again. She tries that for weeks or months, it doesn't work. She pays him, she goes to a different doctor. Probably not that many doctors in the place where she lives, so if she's going to many doctors, she's got to actually travel. You know, she's got to go to a different town, a different village. She's got to explain her situation again. It says she spent everything she had. You know, sometimes we take our National Health Service for granted. You know, this is a woman who's going to doctors who are probably not that well equipped to help her. She's trying treatments that are not helping. She's spending all her money, and she does this for 12 long years. And instead of getting better, she's getting worse. Maybe she's getting worse, actually, because some of the treatments that the doctors are giving her are actually causing more problems rather than helping her. And in that society, because of the Jewish ceremonial laws, when she has a time of bleeding, she's actually ceremonial unclean. She's not allowed to have contact with other people. She's probably not much of a candidate for marriage. I don't know if she's married or not, or had previously been married. She's socially excluded. If someone else touches her, they become unclean and have to go through various purification rituals in order to be clean themselves. And she has been an outcast from her society for 12 long years and is desperate to be well. And I think there are three places we can be in when we are stuck. And those are the three points of my message this morning. Point one is, I don't really have a problem. I don't really have a problem. You know, sometimes that can be our mindset, a little bit like me with my need for glasses. You know, we are stuck, but we're not prepared to admit it. And, you know, what kind of things am I talking about? What kind of areas might we be stuck in? You know, it might be a spiritual thing, might be a practical thing. There's sometimes compulsive behavior. Just find ourselves, you know, we're trying to give up, not get carried away with video games, but we find ourselves staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning. I can remember doing that. Tried to give up. I said, right, I'm not going to do it for a whole year. Faithfully didn't play video games for a whole year. And then I thought, okay, I've got this under control. And stayed up till 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning again. Couldn't escape. Sin City and Civilization. That was my addiction. Depression. You know, sometimes we just feel depressed. We don't know why. We don't know how. But we're just stuck and we feel depressed. What about other internet compulsions? You know, pornography and impurity on the internet. You know, we know it's wrong, and yet we keep going back. We click on that link. Financial irresponsibility and overwhelming debt. And we think, I've been trying to escape this for a long time, and I just can't seem to escape. I keep on spending more than I earn. Perhaps you're out of work or stuck in a job that you hate. Perhaps you've been trying to give up smoking or give up drinking. Perhaps you're struggling to be faithful to your wife or your husband. Perhaps you're a parent and you're pulling your hair out because your kids won't behave in the way that you want. Rhoda and I are trying to toilet train our 3, soon to be 4-year-old boy at the moment. Never had this issue with the girls, but for the life of us, we cannot figure out how to help our nearly 4-year-old son keep his trousers dry. And, again and again, I'm sorry. You know, why? I'm sorry. Why? I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. Maybe you're stuck in a relationship that is dysfunctional. You know, an abusive relationship, emotionally or physically abusive relationship. Perhaps it's not abusive, but you just have patterns of conflict in your relationship. And you think, man, why do we keep on rowing about the same thing? So fired up to hear you're doing the marriage dynamics course. I just really commend those who run it and those who go along to it. Rhoda and I went along to it a year ago, and it really, really helped us in our relationship. Now, sometimes what burdens us is not something that's a problem in our own life, but a problem with someone we love and care about. You know, we have a close family member who's got a substance abuse issue, or perhaps we've got a close family member who's not right with God, and we desperately want them to have the joy of a right relationship with God. Sometimes as Christians, we're eager to want to share our faith with somebody else, to bring the message of salvation to someone else. We want to be fruitful in that way, and yet it's been years and years, and we feel stuck because we don't know what it's going to take to help somebody else. Sometimes we're studying the Bible in order to become a Christian, and we think, okay, I'm learning, but I'm somehow not changing. I'm stuck. There's some barrier in my heart or in my life that's preventing me from breaking through and becoming a Christian. Now, all of us have problems like this at one point or other in our lives. And yet, sometimes our issue is that we deny we even have a problem. Like, no, I'm fine. I'm all right, Jack. Thank you very much. We put up this wall of everything's fine. I encounter this a lot at work. Now, I work as a management consultant. I'm a principal in a firm of management consultants, and there's a strong pressure to present an aura that you know what you're doing. You know, I'm coming here to help you. I'm usually going into big international firms who have, you know, revenues in the billions. They're paying thousands of pounds a day for my time. And so there's a pressure when you go in there to project an aura that I'm here, I can solve all your problems, everything's going to be fine. And, you know, the truth is I'm not perfect, and I certainly can't solve everybody's problems. And yet even with my colleagues, because there's this professional pressure to look good, we find it very difficult as consultants to admit that actually things are not always fine. Sometimes there's a screaming on the inside thinking, I have no idea how to solve your problem, and you're all looking at me. And, you know, it's hard to admit that's how you're feeling when there's a pressure to perform and to look good. Sometimes even at church, we can feel this way. You know, we can come along and think, okay, I've got to look good on the outside. I've got to hold it together, perhaps particularly for those of us in leadership roles. And actually, that's not how, you know, victories are won in the Christian life. You know, one of the things that stands out about Christianity as opposed to other world religions is that the Bible doesn't teach us how to be good enough to be saved. It teaches us that none of us are good enough, and we need to, like this woman, throw ourselves at Jesus' feet and say, we have a problem. You know, signs that you have a problem that you're denying are when it's been going on for a long time, like this woman. Sometimes we think, oh no, it's just a little blip, but that little blip has been going on for months and years. like the woman, perhaps your problem is getting worse rather than getting better. You know, it was just a glass or two, now it's a glass or six of wine, you know, after a meal, and it's more often than it used to be. Another sign is you're embarrassed about it. You know, why did this woman not talk to Jesus? Why did she just touch his cloak? Well, she was embarrassed in front of a crowd to talk about her personal problems. And that's understandable, but unless we're willing to open up, sometimes we can't get the help that we need. You know, that can lead to deceit. You know, it's sad when a wife or a husband can't be honest, for example, with each other about the real issues. You know, it's sad when a husband's got financial problems and won't even talk to his own wife about it, and then the hurt that causes when the wife finds out what has been going on. Or a brother's been saying everything's fine and yet there's an issue with impurity, or, you know, something else deep in his heart going on. He's not prepared to talk about it. Sometimes we rationalize or we self-medicate. What do I mean by that? You know, I know for me, I procrastinate sometimes because there's something I don't want to do. And so I go and surf the web, you know, and I just find stupid jokes, stupid stories, something, you know, sort of candy for the mind, sweets for the mind, you know, just to distract me because I don't want to do something at work. You know, food, entertainment, different things, you know, can be a way of self-medicating to take our mind away from accepting the reality that, yes, I do really have a problem. Is that where you're at this morning? Second, what place we can be. I'll sort the problem out by myself. Thank you very much. I'll sort the problem out by myself. Thank you very much. Flick back to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 13. Sometimes there's a lot of help around, and yet we're not prepared to accept it or seek it out. You know, this woman at least had the courage, in fact, immense courage, to go to many different doctors to get help. You can't fault her for not seeking help. But sometimes we think, okay, I'm going to try and find a way of working it out by myself. Here in Jeremiah 13, God calls out to his people who he's been desperately trying to help overcome the sin and problems in their lives. And in verse 17 of Jeremiah chapter 13, it says, "But if you do not listen, I will weep in secret because of your pride. My eyes will weep bitterly, overflowing with tears, because the Lord's flock will be taken captive." Now, God cries out to help us. And God even brings us to church, he says, so that the whole can be greater than the sum of the parts, so that those who are strong can help those who are weak. You know, some people say, well, the church is for weak people. You know, Christianity is for people who are weak. Well, it is, because we're all weak. But it's also a place where those who are strong today can help those who are weak today. And tomorrow they will become strong so they can in turn help other people. Because the truth is, we all have days we're weak, days we're strong, areas we're weak, areas we're strong. And as a church, we can help each other. But that can't happen if we have this mindset, I'm going to sort it out by myself. Thank you very much. God cries out for us. He's saying, look, I've put these people around you. I'm desperately wanting to help you, and yet you're refusing to be helped. You know, I can remember as a relatively young Christian, two and a half years as a Christian. I mean, 2 whole years. I mean, I knew everything. And I was very excited about, you know, just the talents and abilities and things that God had blessed me with. And I was a bit proud. In fact, I was very proud. And some brothers took it on to try and help me to understand that there was some pride that I needed to understand and appreciate. And I can remember sitting down with Mike, actually, in a room in London House, I think it was. And Mike was trying to help me understand that there was an issue of pride in my life. And I wasn't getting it. And Mike started to cry. I don't know whether it was out of compassion or just frustration. Because I wasn't getting it. And, you know, reminds me of this passage. You know, sometimes, you know, someone's just being proud and everyone else is like, we really want to help you, but you're just not getting it. And it's so sad. And God says in this passage, man, you're gonna be sent off into captivity. You know, I'm gonna have to send nations to oppose you. You're gonna be, you know, attacked. You're gonna be destroyed because you're just not willing to listen. And we've had some situations in Northwest London, the congregation I'm in recently, where people have made just some dumb decisions because they didn't seek advice. You know, dumb decisions about starting their own business or moving house or a relationship, and then you see them crash and burn and you just think, oh, I wish they could have just had the humility to seek advice and get help. You know, there's these areas where we're not always objective about where we're at, and it's just so helpful. It's such a blessing to be in a church where we can help each other. I know Rhoda and I in our marriage have been so blessed to have people around us who can help us when we get stuck, you know. We used to think, when we first married, we used to think we had a perfect relationship because we never argued. It's like, not like other people who argue. You know, we don't do that. And then after about 6 months, we had this huge row. And we Doug and Vicky Jacoby, friends of ours in the church, who helped us sort everything out. And, you know, and then everything was perfect again for another 6 months. And then, ba-boom, there's another huge row. And after this pattern had been repeated for a while, we realized what's going on. It's not that we have a perfect relationship, you know, apart from, you know, 2 hours every 6 months. It's that actually most of the time we're stuffing issues under the carpet. And we're not being real and honest about the little niggles and problems in our marriage. And we just need to be more open. We need to let people, we need to let each other in and let other people into our lives on a more regular basis, so that instead of being a volcanic eruption every 6 months, you know, we can deal with things quickly before they become big things. Okay, thirdly, I'm trying to change, but I'm just not breaking through. I think a lot of us are probably in this space. You know, we're humble enough to admit we have an issue. We're not so completely proud that we're unwilling to accept help. And yet, we're somehow not breaking through and having the victory in our lives. And I have 10 top tips, okay? 10 top tips to help you have a victory making change, which I'm going to try and go through in quick time because I have a weakness of going too long. And that's not a good thing. So, got my timer on here. Okay, top tip number one. Be passionate, not half-hearted. Passionate, not half-hearted. You know, sometimes we try to change, but the honest truth is our heart's not really in it. We're not really going for it. You know, and one way to tell is when you compare yourself to somebody who's really going for it. You know, I was really inspired recently. In fact, it was about 6 months ago now. By a brother, Timothy Lauren. He's moved back to the States now, but he was over here in the UK, wanted to try and find a job. And he was intense about finding work. And he had deep conviction that yes, you get jobs by applying for them, but also a lot of jobs go through personal recommendations. Like both finding out about them and actually getting the job is a lot about a personal recommendation. And so he came to me and he said, Andrew, I know you're a consultant. You've got lots of clients in lots of different industries. You'll be really well placed to help, you know, make me a recommendation. I was happy to give him a recommendation. And he said he wanted to apply for a job at IBM. And my boss had recently moved over from IBM. And he said, wow, it'd be great to meet your boss. And I was like, okay. Could you introduce me to your boss? Because then he would know me to recommend me. Like, yeah, okay, I think we could. I said, the trouble is, I feel a bit odd just introducing you, like, here's my mate, you know. Could we find a reason? And he's, you know, he said, I know, how about you take him out for coffee, and then as you're finishing your time for coffee, I can be arriving to spend time with you, And then, you know, you can introduce us, you know, just at the, you know, when he's leaving and I'm arriving, you know. I was blown away, you know. A, he's being creative. B, he's certainly being bold, you know. I thought, wow, that's guts. You know, here's someone who's determined. He knows what it takes to get a job, and he'll do whatever it takes to get it. You know, sometimes we're like, I want a job. Or, I want to change. But we don't have that kind of passion to say, I'm going to be bold. I'm going to push myself forward. I'm going to ask. I'm going to beg. I'm going to plead. I'm going to do whatever it takes to change. Secondly, being faithful, not self-reliant. You know, also in Jeremiah 17, we don't have to turn there, but in verse 5 and 6, it said, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He won't see prosperity when it comes. He'll dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. You know, sometimes we try to change just by trying harder, and it doesn't work, you know. We'll change for a little bit, and then because actually we haven't made profound heart-level change with God's help, we actually lapse back into our old ways of behaving. The Bible says that, yes, effort matters, being passionate, we're called to be wholehearted, but if we try and do it by our own strength, we are doomed to fail. Thirdly, get help, don't hide. And we've talked a little bit about getting help. But sometimes we're just a little bit blind and naive to the resources that are available to us. You know, I was asking in the congregation, in the fellowship before we started, you know, for different kind of being stuck situations. Are there people here in the East, you know, who people could go to? You know, obviously you've got your leadership group, but sometimes there are wider resources in the congregation we're not aware of. And you know, what happens if I'm stuck in my finances? Well, I was told, well, Simon Wilcox, he's a good guy to go to. You could go and get help from him. What about if I'm trying to figure out how to run my own business and I'm not sure, you know, is it a good idea? Is it going well? I hold, Vanessa White, I'm told, is someone who's, you know, got a head around that. What about I've got issues with my kids, you know, issues at home, issues at school maybe. Well, I'm told Tony and Margareta Cameron have got, you know, some good convictions on that subject. What about you want to reach out to someone? You want to reach out to your family? Well, I'm told Leslie and Geeta have got, you know, just passion and conviction on this subject. How about being fruitful more generally and just reaching out to your friends and your neighbors? Well, I'm told Scott and Ahika, DeFritas, have been fruitful and have got some great vision and plans for their neighborhood. What about if you're married to someone who's not yet a member of the church? You know, I'm told Monica and Jonathan have got some great stories to tell and some great convictions on this subject. Now, I'm sure all the names of people I've just shared, you know, would be happy to tell you they are not perfect in these areas. They're not going to be able to solve every problem that you have, right? But they were stuck and now they're unstuck or less stuck or they've learned something. Why not have the humility to go to them and ask, what did you learn? How did you make progress? And perhaps they'll be able to help you, perhaps not, but at least you'll have had the humility and you'll learn something in doing it. Okay, number four, figure out what works for your character. You know, some things that are universal, but there's some things that are just specific to who you are. And I learned something this year that really helped me with my procrastination. At work, I often procrastinate when I get stuck with something that I have to write. I'm quite happy verbally, but if I have to write something down, I get stuck. And so I had 1,800 pages to review, and I was overwhelmed, and I just stuck my head in the sand for ages. And then I thought, actually, my colleagues have written this. If I just had a conversation with them rather than try and write notes on it, maybe I'll have a breakthrough. And that ended up being so much easier for me. Figure out what works for you. Number seven, replace evil for good. In Luke 11, we're told that, you know, if you just sweep out the evil spirits and don't replace it with something else, you'll end up in a worse situation than you were before. Sometimes we overcome something in our lives, you've got to replace it with something good. Number eight, rejoice amidst your suffering. Romans chapter 5 verse 2, 1 Peter 1 verse 6, lots of passages in the Bible talk about how even when we're going through tough times, we should rejoice in the Lord. God's trying to teach us something. God's even trying to teach other people through how we deal with something. Number 9, celebrate your victories. You know, when the prodigal son came back, his father made a big party. And sometimes even just celebrating a little victory along the way helps pick up your courage and lift up your eyes so you can say, that was just a little victory. I'm not there yet, but I'm on the way. I'm going to celebrate it. Lastly, persevere. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. I just read this passage. It says, we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You know, sometimes God doesn't allow us to have an instant victory because he wants us to learn something. And he's calling us and testing us to persevere. So if you're stuck and if you're fighting and you think, I've been doing all those things, I can tick off all 9 of them. Maybe God's just calling you to persevere because he wants you to learn his blessings. He wants you to be an inspiration to other people through the way that you are persevering. You know, if we look at this woman, how did she have a breakthrough from being stuck? You know, she was certainly wholehearted. She'd gone after these different doctors. She'd chased after Jesus. She overcame her fears, didn't she, to reach out. She got help. She was faithful. She said, if I just touch his cloak, I will be healed. Not through my efforts, but through what God is going to do for me. She was specifically open. Yeah, she said to Jesus, you know, she told him the whole truth, it said. And lastly and most importantly, she found Jesus. You know, sometimes we stay stuck because we're not going to Jesus. We're going to other places. We're going to self-help books. We're going to other sources that don't really have the solution for our lives. So if you're stuck today, my challenge is, first of all, accept you have a problem. Don't try and fix it by yourself. And I hope the 10 top tips I shared from the scriptures will help you to connect with Jesus and to find progress and peace in your life. My practical challenge to you today would be talk to someone in the fellowship and say, I'm stuck. This is what I'm going to do about it. Maybe even ask for some help. Hope this has been a blessing in your life. Amen.